Tonight's gospel reading comes from the second chapter of Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The Gospel of the Lord. So a family had twin boys whose only resemblance to each other was their looks. If one felt it was too hot, the other thought it was too cold. If one said the TV was too loud, the other said the volume needed to be turned up. Opposite in every way, one was an eternal optimist, the other a doom and gloom pessimist. Just to see what would happen, on the twins' birthday, their father loaded the pessimist's room with every imaginable toy and game. The optimist's room he loaded with horse manure. That night, the father passed by the pessimist's room and found him sitting amid his new gifts, crying bitterly. "Why are you crying?" the father asked. "Because my friends will be jealous. I'll have to read all these instructions before I can do anything with this stuff. I'll constantly need batteries, and my toys will eventually get broken," answered the pessimist twin. Passing the optimist twin's room, the father found him dancing for joy in the pile of manure. "What are you so happy about?" he asked. To which his optimist twin replied, "There's got to be a pony in here somewhere." What I would like to say this Christmas is, I was talking with Pastor Beth just earlier today, and she came up with this statement, and she didn't even know she had said it. I wrote it down, I told her I was going to say this, and she said, "You can use that for your sermon." So she said, "We are all part of the Holy Family. We need each other, and we can't do it alone." And I think that captures the essence of what I just read about this experience of stables and Jesus and Mary and Joseph and angels and shepherds and God coming to us. That's the scene. And I think that's summed up nicely like that. We are all part of the Holy Family. We need each other. We can't do it alone. So we are all part of, there's three parts to that. We are all part of the Holy Family. So earlier today, I was driving around, and if you're usually, if you're not retired, or if you aren't working, chances are you're driving around because you're doing some last-minute things on December 24th, like today. So I may have been doing some last-minute things, and I'm on, if you're familiar with Lacey, I'm on the corner of Carpenter. I'm going to turn left onto Martin, you know, like to go down to the theaters. You know, he'll just go down. And if you're in that left lane, you know, if you know at all, you know that to turn in that left lane, if you don't hit it right, then you got to wait another stinking light. And, you know, that just is what it is with driving. And so I'm in that, I don't know, zone, and I'm following along, and I'm getting ready to turn left. And just as I'm like two cars away, just as I turn left, out of the corner of my eye, I see a punk, we'll just call him a punk, a kid, a boy, a young man running, and he gives it one of these to me as he's running by me. He gives it one of these, like a timeout, you know, timeout while I pass through this lane that I'm about to turn in. He's not even in the crosswalk, which is, you know, three cars away. He's in just in front of my car. So I let him pass. Because, you know, it's almost Christmas Eve, and I Pastor Eric probably shouldn't hit someone. I may have thought a bad thought, and, you know, it's just a kid. And then I see out of the corner of my eye, here comes a second guy from the car. You know, they're filling up at the 45-cent too expensive gas station right on the corner there, the Shell gas station. And he comes running through, you know, and so finally I turn, and he goes behind me, and I turn, and as I turn and look, there up the hill is this old red Ford truck. And two people are pushing it. And these two guys are going to help them push this truck. Now, when I saw that, I felt horrible, of course, because I thought a number of things. I have been the pusher of the truck. I've been that young guy to help people push cars. Because when someone's car is stalled, and I mean, it's horrible. And I've been that stalled car person trying to push my own car, and it's just nice to get help. So that was a case of, for me, that moment I realized those guys didn't have to do that. They were a couple of what I thought were punk kids. You know, they were just young people doing, running across the road for no reason, but it turned out it was for a very compassionate, and I would say a holy reason. It was for a great reason, to help someone. It was a good Samaritan. I mean, it was as biblical as it gets. They helped push the truck out of the way, and I'm going too far and too fast. I can't go back there. They had it done by then. They were young and I'm old, you know, so they got it done, which was great. But for me, that really is an example of we are all part of God's holy family. And that holiness, that sense of something that transcends who we are in the moment, that holy act, that act of grace, that act of love, that act of mercy that either you receive or you give or you see, I just saw it. It just reminds you of who we are. We are all part of God's holy family. Number two, or the second part, we are all part of God's holy family, and we need each other. Maybe you know that, maybe you don't, maybe you haven't experienced that in your life yet, but we do. We need each other. That person in the truck needed those young men, those wonderful young grace-filled men to help them. We need each other. That I don't need to give an example of that. You know that. You felt that. And as I was thinking about what's the picture I can think of that, there's this song that we sang. Jim Spade, who's here, and myself were for this past season part of the Olympia Choral Society. And if some of you may have gone there or gone to the past to a show, but we did a Christmas concert on the 12th through the 14th. And there's a song by Will Todd called My Lord Has Come. It's a very quiet song, and it's very much about this setting right now. My Lord has come. Shepherds and angels were called, and the only place for them was in a stable. My Lord has come. And right in the center of it, there are these words: His love will hold me. His love will cherish me. Love will cradle me. Now, every time I sing that, because, you know, songs have a way of doing things to you that words simply can't, and I was going to sing it, but I'll probably cry, so I can't do it. And it's better when it's sung in all four parts instead of just the bass part. But these words, his love will hold me, his love will cherish me, love will cradle me, and the only room I have is in the stable. That's the power of this song. And so as I think about we need each other, I think I'm looking at this picture I have in my office. And this picture right here is me holding, cradling Arden Mason, the first person I baptized here, and that was in 9/12 in September, the end of September, a couple years ago. So I'm going to just quickly show the picture. I got the biggest smile on my face right there, because after baptizing someone in this church, you walk like this with the kid. So that's what I'm doing there in that picture. Man, I got a big smile. And I had more hair too, but anyway. But I thought to myself, as I was thinking about these words and that we need each other, I'm not a small person. It's been a long time since I have been cradled like I'm cradling Arden there. Like this exactly, because I'm a big person. But I have been cradled by God's love, with the embrace of my own children, with sitting up just now and having just a wonderful time with children that aren't my children, but to feel and know and to be cradled and loved by God through just conversation. And that's why you come to church, hopefully, is that the Lord has come for you. God's love can cradle you. We can love each other and embrace each other and cradle each other. That's what this season is about. We are part of the Holy Family. We need each other to cradle each other. And then we can't do it alone. So on that can't do it alone part, I'm thinking of a friend of mine, just finishing up a divorce. They have one son. I grew up just with my mother, a child of divorce. I understand how things are happening. My friend grew up as a child of divorce. Sometimes you're alone. That's reality in life. That's the part of life that's real for all of us. We are alone sometimes. Or we feel alone. Or in this season, we may have lost a loved one. Or someone is sick. Or a pet. I mean, there's lots of things like that. We know that aloneness. Just like we know we need each other, we've all felt alone. So I'm thinking about my friend, and he's negotiating for this first time how to do Christmas with his former wife and their child. You know, you got the kid exchange, and how does all that work? And so I asked my friend, well, you know, what should I say on Christmas Eve? You got anything for me? And his response was, now he has a tattoo that says, love conquers all. He just recently got that. And now that he got that, I think, you know, if you're going to get a tattoo, love conquers all, that's not bad. So it's in Latin too, so it's kind of cool looking. But I hadn't thought about a tattoo until my friend got it. But he said, the thing about Christmas, I would say, is to find joy and light in the eyes of others. That's for him, the bottom line for Christmas. To find joy and light in the eyes of others. And that's the way to get out of loneliness. Light and eyes, those things lead to love. And I know that's what he's experiencing right now with his son, as they sit, and he's Catholic, you know, going to Mass this evening, right, at the same time as we are here now. He's experiencing the light and love of his son as they are together. They aren't alone. But there are times when you are, and that's the reality. But we are part of the Holy Family. We need each other, and we can't do it alone. So this brings me to the final piece of the puzzle for me, how this all works and what this really looks like. We are all part of the family. We need each other. We can't do it alone. So my mom, some of you know, she had surgery, major surgery. She was in the hospital for a week, and she came to the first service, which was very nice to have her come back, and she baked me my cookies, which is awesome, before she had the surgery, and she'll get, surgery went well, so I'll get another year of cookies this next year, so it's all good to be Eric, the only child, but I guess she gives them to the family, but not those. I eat those. But she said before the surgery, she said, there's a saying in Germany, where I come from, to give with a warm hand. Give with a warm hand. Now, she was saying that, being the practical person is, she gave me a list. Here's the list of people to call if, you know, the surgery goes well. Here's a list of people to call if the surgery doesn't go well. I mean, she's practical, which is nice. I appreciate that, you know, I had the good list of things going well. But her point about that, giving with a warm hand when you can. And that's what hands are for. They're for giving. And hands can be forgiving as well. Forgiving like forgiveness. And forgiving like as a gift. Hands have that purpose. So I thought about that. And the best way to capture this, we are all part of the Holy Family. We need each other. And we can't do it alone, is we're going to do that with the hands right now. Right now, all of us connect. Grab the person next to you. So you got to have at least one person. If you have two hands, that's fine. Everybody grab hands, and you're going to repeat after me. Make sure everybody's got it. Everybody's good. Repeat after me. We are all part of the Holy Family. We need each other. We can't do it alone. Now, we're going to say it again, except this time you're going to turn to your neighbor and you're going to say it this way. You are part of God's family. We need each other. And you are not alone. Thank you for doing that. I believe this setting and our setting is good, great news, like the angels proclaimed. We are part of God's family. We need each other, and we can't do it alone. And thanks be to God that He reminds us of that through Jesus. Amen.